97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network. Live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, home of the Big Green Building. Saving you thousands upon thousands on these vehicles. Everything priced to move, too. Mm-hmm. Come on down. Great selection. A lot of people having a hard time keeping those used cars in stock. They got them in spades here.
Yeah, they do. And all of their six locations, they'll get you taken care of. And if you need a work, a job, you come into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Big bonuses and incentives right now to get you started into a new occupation. And it's a good one, too. You know, Scott, every time we come out here, just good people. Good people behind the desk. Good people willing to help. Travis Johnson does such a great job in hiring. And they're making it worth your time right now.
I was going to say, I've been bummed out because we haven't seen Travis in a while. But actually, I don't know if that's a bad thing because Travis sometimes roughs us up a little bit.
He attacks.
Yeah.
I always do leave the show feeling a little bit worse about my body type.
I mean, like, you know, look, you played in the NFL. Mm-hmm. We've been doing radio for a long time. We've had a decent amount of success doing this thing. And then I walk out and I'm thinking, I've really screwed up in my life. No, he's the greatest.
It's because Travis is buttoned up. No, it's because he's our brother.
Yeah.
He really is. All these guys are like brothers to us. Doug and Mike and everybody down at the Sandy location and the whole crew here at the Murray location, they're just so inviting. And you'll find that out when you come into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket to buy a vehicle or to sell a vehicle. You're going to find that out really quickly.
So Utah takes on Chip Kelly and UCLA.
Yeah.
Bruins roll into town. It was interesting listening to the conversation yesterday at the press conference. I think there's optimism. I think Kyle feels pretty good about his offense. And I want to say there was a certain level of – now, Kyle's never excuse guy, never has been, never will be. But I think it's okay to have explanations as to what's going on. And that's what you want out of a coach. Anybody out there that was saying that Kyle was making excuses for his defense is ridiculous. But Kyle did go out of his way to say this is why things are happening. Now, I'm not saying it's acceptable, and I'm not saying that it's okay – but it is. I am going to tell the story of what happened, and the fact is they are very young up front on the defensive line. They've been dealing with injuries, and I like how he did mention, well, Devin Lloyd, we lost him, but we were already soft before Devin Lloyd left the game.
Getting beat up before he was out. It just didn't help.
Which Devin Lloyd's over there like, wait, what?
Hey, man.
You calling me soft?
But it definitely didn't help.
No, it did not. But when they needed to make those stops down late, you know, your offense is getting some points, and you need to get that stop to get it back to a chance where you can make this a one-possession game or take the lead back, defense just couldn't get off the field.
It makes me sad that Devin Lloyd is going to miss the first half of this UCLA game too. That's a brutal loss for the first half of this UCLA game. With that being said, I have very little concern for this game this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Dorian Thompson-Robinson plays.
And that was a little gamesmanship yesterday because Kyle Whittingham was asked that. He goes, oh, he's a tough guy. I'd be shocked if he's not going to play. I'm with you. I'd be shocked if he does play.
I'd be shocked if he played. I know he's listed as questionable. I would be shocked if he played. And if he does play, I'm sure he's going to be banged up because Oregon roughed him up.
Yeah.
So I am not expecting them to have their star quarterback, their star senior quarterback, which is going to cause problems for them, in my opinion. They need to get through that half without Devin Lloyd. But there were some things that occurred in this Oregon State game. I just don't see it occurring against UCLA. Number one, if there's a single punt that is blocked again this year, shame on that whole team. Shame on everybody. There is no way you can make any excuse for a punt being blocked again. Get that punt out and do it quickly. And I know that everybody's probably standing on pins and needles right now because, again, you had a missed field goal, and again you had two blocked punts, and special teams look bad. I know everybody's a little bit shaky, but you know what? Just grow up and understand what your job is and just do your stupid job. That's all you need to do. No more. No less. No more block punts. So that will help them. And then the Utes just need to figure out some of their offensive philosophy when they're in fourth down. I felt like it was Oregon State playing well, not Utah playing poorly. I felt like Oregon State won this game because they're a good football team, not Utah losing this game because they're a bad football team. And Oregon State took the 4th-and-2 and 4th-and-3, both of them at goal, and ripped them right out from under Utah. That's me congratulating Oregon State, not shaming you. Well, Utah needs to be able to get 2 yards on a 4th down when they're behind. But
it was also 3rd-and-2, 2nd-and-2, 3rd-and-2, and 4th-and-2.
Yeah.
And Kyle mentioned this in the press conference yesterday. I don't have a hard time with the actual 4th down play itself. I have a hard time with the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th down plays collectively.
Yep. Yeah. You can't. I do too.
And yeah. So I don't. I can't. I'm not throwing Andy Ludwig under the bus for the 4th down play. I just think that there could have been more running the stinking football. You got Tavian Thomas, who's a beast out there. Give him the ball on one of those plays. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball on 1st down, did not on 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So I understand we want to be creative and you want to think outside the box and get him on their heels a little bit, but just run the damn ball, man.
When you've got him back there, yeah, and he's having a success, I get it. And it's so easy to second-guess that stuff.
I know.
It is. It's so easy. And I'm sure that these coaching staffs get sick of hearing the second-guessing. And in their mind, they're like, fine, you come in and call
it. But Kyle second-guessed
it. Tough. Yeah, which is easy for him to do too. I'm sure Andy Ludwig is probably sitting down with him like, hey, Kyle, so what did we talk about in 4th down situations? Well, if they showed this, then we'd do that. So what did they show, Kyle? This.
I'm sure Andy's having that exact conversation.
So how did that go, Kyle? What was that play call? Was that kind of what we talked about?
And if I'm Kyle Whittingham, like, so how many touchdowns how many points did we score on that drive? 0. Okay, don't effing do that ever again. And don't you ever have that condescending voice with me ever again, Andy.
Let me show you the last 16 years, Andy. You're going to want to take a look at how this all went.
Between you and me, who's got more job security, Andy?
But there's a little bit of truth to that because
I know exactly
it comes back to Kyle.
Yeah.
It doesn't sit on Andy. It comes back to Kyle. People, fire Kyle. He doesn't know how to get in the end zone, in the red zone. It's like, he's got pressure and he's got to fix it. So I understand why he would be a little bit perturbed. And then it goes back to the players, you know, the offensive line, getting a push. Make sure that Andy Ludwig can rely on you in short yardage to get those 1 or 2 yards. Because they're not going to stop going for it on 4th.
No.
They've already made that decision this year. We've seen multiple 4th down attempts by the University of Utah. More this year than I've seen in collective years in the past. Wouldn't you say?
Agreed wholeheartedly on that.
And I think some of it has to do with not having a – is it Ray Guy Award winner? Is it Ray Guy?
Ray Guy is the kicker. Brent Guy is the punter.
Okay, so you don't have a Brent Guy Award winner on your team this year.
It's Nagurski or something. Or a Lou – is it Lou Groza? Which one's which? Is Ray Guy the punter or the kicker?
Guy's the punter. Groz is the kicker, right?
Brent Guy's the kick punter.
I don't think Brent Guy is somebody I know that name, but I don't.
He coached the Utah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They're not. There's no award after him.
No, trust me.
Except for getting stopped on a 4th down.
Yeah. Maybe the 4th and 2 stop is the Brent Guy Award.
That is so low. That is so low. Oh man. That's shoveling more dirt on top of the mound. Doggone it.
Jeez, man, when you do that, I hate it.
No, but his career is.
When we're having fun and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you've gone too far.
Yeah, which is awful.
Well, you did.
With the States thing, you know you went too far.
Oh, that was all you.
But, Kyle, you're right. Kyle has to get this in order. But I got to imagine that they should be on the same page, I would hope. So with all that said, personally, I feel like they should get back on track. At Rice-Eccles Stadium, you're not going against the number one Pac-12 run offense and the number one Pac-12 run defense.
But you are against, I believe, the number two Pac-12 run game.
The rushing offense.
And 206 yards. Now, okay, so explain this. So Kyle said they're much different at how they attack. Now, Oregon State's running for 200-plus, and they run that stretch zone running blocking scheme.
Yeah.
UCLA does not, but they're averaging about 207 yards a game. So they're different rushing attacks, but I do think what UCLA does, Utah matches up better against that rushing attack than they do Oregon State.
I would agree with that because, you know, you've got that pounding size that can combat the double teams instead of the big size that's trying to run with the stretch. As the gaps stretch, these guys can now just take on these blocks. But Chip Kelly does it a little bit different too. I'll have more breakdown of that in the Utah preview show on Thursday.
But you got Zach Charbonnet, who's averaging nearly 6 yards a carry and 91 yards a game.
It's good numbers. And UCLA's got some good wins. I just feel more comfortable, more confident with this game.
Although if Dorian Thompson-Robinson does not play, I mean, that's your third leading rusher who's averaging 45 yards a game on the ground. That changes a lot of who they are, not having that aspect of their offense.
And he's got 1,700 yards through the air.
Yeah.
With 14 touchdowns through the air. That's taking a lot of offense off the field when you're losing him. And they do have good wins. You know, they had a good win over Stanford. And
the UCLA doesn't look as good as it once did.
You mean the
– Or LSU.
The LSU win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite.
Fresno got them. They did beat, as you mentioned, Stanford. Arizona State roughed them up pretty good. And then two wins that they should have won in Arizona and Washington, although both of them on the road. And then, as you mentioned, Oregon gets past them.
Well, that was a Donnybrook. That Oregon-UCLA game was a fight to the bitter end. And I thought UCLA was going to get them for a minute. But Oregon did a better job of finishing off that game. So UCLA is a good team. Without their quarterback, they're a good team. I just think that they fit into what Utah's doing. Utah does need to get through that quarter without Devin Lloyd.
I mean, if Dorian Thompson-Robinson does not play, and I think you and I both are leaning that way, he's a senior. It seems like he's been there forever with Chip Kelly. He's averaging 200 yards on the ground. He's only thrown three interceptions. And then you hand the reins on over to Ethan Garbers, who's a freshman. Has only attempted 7 passes all year. And one of them intercepted.
Yeah, that was Garbers coming in against Oregon.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant drop-off there.
Garbers came in and tried to finish things off against Oregon and went, as you mentioned, 2 of 5 with that interception. Oregon did a really good job of slowing them down in the run game. It forced them through the air. UCLA did a good job through the air until they were without Dorian Thompson. I think Utah could do the same thing to them, but I don't think they'll have that quarterback. Even if they do have that quarterback where he's banged up, Utah's just going to make it a lot worse for him. So I'm feeling good about Utah kind of getting themselves fixed and straight. And you got to remember, Utah already has a Arizona State win under their belt and a USC win under their belt, which still leaves them in control of that South Division. As long as they stop losing to North Division teams, that leaves them in control of the South Division. Just don't lose another game. You'll still win that.
Yeah, your margin of error has gotten really thin, but you still, as you mentioned, control your own destiny there.
And UCLA is kind of where it starts. You know, this game has so much of the season implications placed on it. You lose to UCLA, and it changes everything for you in conference standing. If you beat UCLA, it just continues to fortify your position. And UCLA is very beatable. I mean, they got some decent numbers in some areas, but they don't come across to me as a dominant team.
No. No, I'm with you on that. They don't strike you as a team that can really – I mean, look, they're giving up 26 points a game. They're giving up on the ground. They're pretty good on the ground. They're giving up about 3.2 yards a carry. But I still believe this is and a lot of this is confidence in what Utah's doing offensively, because I really think they've turned a page there.
They have. Cam Rising has turned a page. The offensive line has gotten better. I've talked about the improvements. It's the number one most improved thing from the San Diego State and BYU back-to-back losses. It's been the offensive line play. They've definitely increased in understanding the offense and picking up the schemes and doing what's asked of them. But Cam Rising has been the leader. He has been able to move out of the pocket, avoid the sacks. He's been accurate. He's been reliable in the run game, giving you multiple big runs in critical moments. Cam Rising has really changed the trajectory of this offense. And he's another thing that, another reason that gives me confidence to say that they get back on track this week at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Because I think that he's a very good quarterback. Cam Rising has done so many things well this year. And I wonder if Cam Rising would have been starting throughout the entire year, how much different things would have been. The Charlie Brewer thing really felt like it threw a monkey wrench.
That experiment went off the rails.
It did. It really did. But it feels like things are getting more and more secure. And I also believe that this defense has turned a big corner. Oregon State provided a different type of offense that didn't allow this Utah defense to do what it had done in the three previous games. But I think that this defense can get back to that against UCLA. TFLs, a lot of confusion and chaos in the backfield and those types of things. Everything Oregon State does, it's just so downhill. Nothing is stepped back on hills. Everything was downhill.
I love that team, by the way. I love the way they're built. I love how they're running their offense. They've got a little swagger to them.
What, I do too.
What he's built in there at Oregon State.
For this season.
I wonder how sustainable that is, too. Can you recruit to that? In the day and age of the spread offense, I think you can recruit to that because there's going to be some athletes that are going to be looked over and some ability, you know, the pieces you need to run that offense might get picked over with all these teams going spread. You might have some offensive linemen that want to play in that style. You might have some running backs that have that kind of vision that may not have other opportunities. I think you can recruit to that. I'd love to see it work.
Well,
long term.
As you mentioned, they are so good right now in the run game and the run stop. So, Scotty, I'm just looking at this. You just got me curious. Where are they going to get their offensive linemen? So, Sandy, Utah. Hennelly Bloomfield.
Yep.
Out of Sandy, Utah. Marco Brewer out of Corvallis, Oregon. Henry Buckles out of Hood River, Oregon. You've got West Lynn, Oregon. Zach Holmes, Portland, Oregon. They're staying in Oregon. They went to Idaho for one, Caldwell, Idaho.
Yeah.
But that's – and then there's a couple of California guys in there.
There's – so Stacy Collins, who was an assistant at Utah State, now is at Boise State. And I'm sure one of the biggest reasons he's at Boise State is he's a hell of a recruiter. But his recruiting area was the Pacific Northwest. And he would tell me all the time about – how everybody's all fired up about California and Texas and Florida, which they should. He goes, the Pacific Northwest is a very underrated hotbed of high school athletes. David Woodward was a guy that was a Pacific Northwest guy. Like, he went down the list. There's a lot of guys. And because it wasn't as heavily recruited as a lot of these other areas, when he was at Utah State, he pulled a lot of guys from the Pacific Northwest that came in and became really good players. And he said all the time that the word's going to get out, and like it has here in the state of Utah, now everybody's coming into Utah to get high school kids.
Yeah.
He goes, Pacific Northwest is up there. Everybody gets all caught up with Seattle, but he goes, there's good high school football in Oregon. There's good high school football throughout the state of Washington. And like, there's good in northern Idaho. There's some good areas up there with some good high school athletes. And Oregon State, if they can continue to tap in and keep kids at home, are going to have an opportunity to continue to build their programs.
Well, this Oregon State offensive line was one of the best I've watched all year. They're very sound offensive line. I don't like the scheme necessarily. I wouldn't like to play in that scheme, but this offensive line runs that scheme really well. Gives them plenty of space and plenty of blocking and plenty of power. When they needed power, they got power too.
Yeah. All right, 227, Hans and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network. We'll give away another pair of Jazz tickets coming up next. Also, coming up a little bit later on in the program, we'll continue to get you ready for the Jazz game coming up tonight as the Jazz square off against Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. And make sure to be listening to Unrivaled at 30 past the hour throughout their show. They'll be giving away Jazz tickets as well. Hans, we're out and about today. Larry H. Miller, Used Car Supermarket. Had a lovely couple come by and pick up some Jazz gear. We still have a lot more left, so come by and grab it.
LHMUsedCars.com. Like Scotty said, we're at the Murray location, 5701 South State Street. Big green building. You'll see us right here off State Street. You can come down and find us here. If you're not in the area here, look for the Sandy location, about 109th South, right off the Frontage Road in the Auto Mall. You can go all the way up north to the Riverdale Road. You can find us all the way up there. Find us in Orem. Off State Street. You got that great location there. I was there chatting with those guys. Great management in Orem. There to help any fan. Doesn't matter. BYU, Utah, they're there to help you, however they can help you. And remember, they're looking for good employees. And they want to make it worth your time. They got bonuses and incentives to get you started as a salesperson here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. So come in. If you're looking for employment, come in. Let them know you heard it on Hanson Scotty. If you're looking to sell a car, make sure you bring it to the big green buildings. They're giving you more money for your car than anybody else can. And we got so many different financing options. It's one of the great things that I've learned working with Travis and Doug is whatever your current situation is, whatever your score is, your credit score could be bad, whatever your history is, they can help you get that straightened up and get you in a car, because everybody needs a car. They can make that happen for you. Plus 0% interest on some vehicles. Come down and see us. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
This is DJ and PK. Dylan Colley, former BYU receiver.
How bad do you think that BYU needed to win that game going into this game instead of being 5-3, 6-2 going into this game?
It was huge. I think it was bigger for the offense than it was the defense to be able to kind of get the ball rolling again, see where aspects of the game may have been slowed down to really open that back up and gain confidence against a team like Washington State. I wish it would have been more, but I believe it was enough to really go in and be confident this week.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It's Sports Roulette, where we take some of the big storylines we have not had a chance to get to or have frankly ignored, and then we put it on a roulette wheel and spin it. It's all brought to you by Davis Vision. It's their back-to-school LASIK sale. You can save $1,000 off a full GR. All you got to do is go to davisvisionmd.com or call 801-253-3080. You ask for Robin, big fan of the radio station. She's one of the nicest people out there. She'll set you up for a free, no-pressure consultation. They'll take a look at your eyes, and if you're a quality candidate for LASIK, you, my friend, are getting $1,000 off. But you got to call 801-253-3080.
Scotty, we got to be out of this drop now, right? The Bountiful Bench, didn't you guys get 28 inches of water last night?
Sure felt like it. Holy smokes. A lot of rain last night.
You guys got a ton of rain.
Yeah. I think I can safely say the drought is over.
For the turn on those sprinklers. The drought is over. No, don't. No, do not. We are not saying that. We've still got a long way to go. But
I don't want Kevin to call in and yell at us again.
No.
That was not a good first impression when I said, oh, the weather, I'm sure it's fine in Palouse. And,
oh, man.
And he called in, and we had a good talking to him.
Yeah, we deserved it. We deserved those stern words coming from
Mr. Eubank. Like, look, when it comes to the weather, leave it to the experts. Shut your damn mouth.
You guys can talk about football you want.
Is he going to come on again, Lloyd?
Man, I hope so.
I think we're going to probably get him on Thursday. What
all
I'm
right.
hoping for.
Best in the business, and we'll ask him about the drought. Are we out of it? Because weather people love.
They love hearing that.
Question.
Guys that don't know anything. So, drought's over. Awesome.
By the way, first time I've seen Minden on a newscast in probably 20 years. Kevin Eubank had Minden with 1.8 inches of rain yesterday or something. Some crazy number. I guess Minden just got destroyed with water yesterday. If they weren't on the side of a mountain, I'd be like, oh, are you guys okay? But all the rain's just running right down there and into Logan.
Not wrong.
Logan, those swamp areas between Minden and Logan are just getting a little more swampy.
There's three towns that get referenced a lot on this show: Decla, Weezer, and Minden, which for some reason you have this weird obsession with the city of Minden.
My third great grandpa founded it.
Yeah.
And it's where I grew up my summers.
Spend your summers in Minden.
Born and raised.
Not Cache Valley, not Logan. No, it's Minden.
In Minden. And plus, the Minden Missile brought a lot of notoriety and attention.
Gage Ferguson, the Minden Missile, as you named him, which he wasn't a big fan of when you brought that up.
At all. At all. I said, are you good, feeling good about this? He goes, no.
No.
I said, well, I'll only call that you that when you're not on air with us.
All right, let's get to it. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Marshawn, still causing problems for the Mannings.
So the Mannings Monday Night Football cast yesterday. You've been watching any of that?
Oh, love it.
You like it?
Absolutely.
What do you like, the guests? Or
I don't really want the guests on there. I think if there's one critique I have, it's almost too guest heavy. Like, I just want the two of them running smack because it feels like Peyton's got to interview the people. I don't want Peyton interviewing people. I just want people sitting around and watching a football game and these guys dropping a lot of great info and insight on the game. I don't feel like they need to say, hey, Marshawn, how sober are you right now?
Yeah.
Which the answer to that is not very.
Always. And Marshawn says, take care of your chicken. You remember the greatest.
Take care of your chickens.
The greatest rant.
And your mentals.
All your mentals. Get your mentals and take care of your chicken. I do like Marshawn Lynch. He is a character. Beyond all characters, he is a character. But the Manning brothers have already had to apologize once for their Monday night podcast or their Monday night football cast because Eli Manning dropped the double barrel birds.
Yes.
Everything is live because they're watching the game and they're trying to keep it live with the game. So everything is live. And it seems like they don't have any room for error because Marshawn Lynch was watching the Seattle Seahawks offense snap a ball off cue. And there was a little bit of a fumble, and Marshawn Lynch goes, what the beep? And Eli was like, oh, so anyways, and he's trying to cut in. And then Marshawn realized what he just did, and he's like, oh, man, yeah, but anyways, sorry. And just a couple of minutes later, Peyton Manning had to deliver an apology, and he did it in Peyton Manning form. Just very, very political and –
I'm very sorry for all of you out there that were offended by the language used on this show. Our sincere apologies. But it's Marshawn Lynch. We knew what he was when we invited him on the show.
It's the truth.
I mean, it's kind of on you.
Yeah, you knew. So does the FCC hit them then?
No.
They're not popping them with the...
I don't think so. I mean, look, I guess if enough people complain, they might look into it. But look, you had a quick apology. It's live TV. Stuff happens. during the Utah State game, there was because we get the effects feed from the TV and pipe it in on the sound so we have the crowd noise and stuff like that. Well, one of the parabolic mics that was being used by CBS picked up a Colorado State player dropping a couple. Let's say it starts with F and ends with K and is in fire truck and
the bomb.
The bomb. And so I kind of made a joke about it. Like, I understand your frustrations. We're all a little frustrated right now.
It went through the broadcast.
Yeah. Oh. Happens.
It does.
You just roll with it and hope people aren't too overly upset.
And it did happen with Marshawn, and you knew it would. There were a couple of other cuss words. I know he threw the S word out there a couple times, and you know.
Come on. What do you expect? It's Marshawn Lynch.
It's Marshawn Lynch.
All right. Lloyd, spin it.
Losing a BYU legend.
You've seen this all over the news, Scotty.
Yeah.
Former BYU athletic director Glenn Tuckett has passed away. Just passed earlier this morning. And this is a man that kind of did it all. And he was integral into the original hiring of Lavelle Edwards. He was kind of the mind and the understanding that brought Lavelle Edwards to BYU. And he's had a lot of experience around that program. When I was there playing at BYU, he was a very respected name, very beloved.
Was he? He had hung it up before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. He was done. Yep. But he was a legend, even at the time that I got there. He was a legend. Credited with so many great things for BYU and passed away earlier this morning.
What the age of, what, 93, I want to say?
Yes, 93 years old, Scotty.
Mm. Yeah, big look, a lot of what BYU is now and who they've become and the national power and name and brand that they are can go right back to him.
Mm-hmm. Coached the BYU baseball team from 1959 to 1976.
Ooh.
He was the athletic director between 1976 and 1994. So just a couple of years before I arrived at BYU is when he left. Rondo Felberg was the athletic director when I showed up, and in my opinion is one of the greatest athletic directors in BYU history. I know some might not agree with that, but I very much do. I felt like Rondo loved every one of us as athletes and had a beautiful grand design and desire of what BYU sports would be. So
we had Rondo. He came by a remote a while ago, didn't he?
He did.
A couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. But following Glenn Tuckett had to have been a pretty tough thing.
Yeah, not easy. Not easy at all. All right, 2:45. Hans and Scotty, wrap this thing up, put a nice little tidy bow on it, and get you ready for another edition of Unrivaled with Alex Geary and Scott Mitchell. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Dylan Colley, former BYU receiver.
How bad do you think that BYU needed to win that game going into this game instead of being 5-3, 6-2 going into this game?
It was huge. I think it was bigger for the offense than it was the defense to be able to kind of get the ball rolling again, see where aspects of the game may have been slowed down to really open that back up and gain confidence against a team like Washington State. I wish it would have been more, but I believe it was enough to really go in and be confident this week.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, Lloyd, did we give away tickets last segment? We did not. Let's give away tickets right now, shall we?
Let's do it.
855. Lloyd, don't be sarcastic. 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. Caller number 12. You have got tickets to win. You've got a chance to win tickets to see the Jazz and the Nuggets tonight. And again, if you don't win, don't worry about it. Listen to Unrivaled coming up at 3:30. Then if you don't win there, listen again at 4:30. If you don't win there, then listen at 5:30. And then if you don't win there, go to UtahJazz.com and get your tickets.
Lloyd, I know it's difficult, man, but Just send
Scotty's
Scotty.
Like the Oprah. You get tickets. You get tickets.
Send Scotty a picture of how many steps you have on your watch and just be like,
the grind is real.
The grind is real. I can't believe it. It's really putting me to the task. Oh. Working all day.
Working so hard.
Hey, Scotty. Scotty.
Yeah.
So, well, so here we are.
You just want everybody to not like us.
Here we are. Four games. The most games played in the NBA is four so far.
Yes.
That's the Chicago Bulls and a couple of others. The least is two, and that's the Utah Jazz. So the most games that are played are four games, most two, most of, well, actually, most of them are three, and there's some two. There are only three undefeated teams remaining. Only three teams in the NBA right now remain without a loss. The Jazz are 1-2-0, the Golden State Warriors at 3-0, and the Chicago Bulls at 4-0. Every other team has a loss. Three teams through three games, two games, and four games.
Will the Jazz be undefeated tomorrow?
Will they? Are you pretty pumped? I mean,
I'm excited. I mean, I could see this game going either way. The 7.5-point spread seems ridiculous to me. But
so, yeah, this seems way ridiculous. Should I see? Let me check and see if that line has moved since we started the show. For those of you that don't know, the show starts at noon.
New hours are old hours, 12 to 3.
It's still 7. The Denver Nuggets played against the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. They lost, and now they have to go on the road. That was at home in Denver. Now they got to go on the road and here to Vivint Arena against the surging Utah Jazz. But I'll be watching a few things tonight, and I said this earlier. Everybody needs to watch what the Utah Jazz throw and do to Nikola Jokic, because that is the one mainstay. That is the thing that will never change with this Denver Nuggets team. The only thing that will really change by the time you see each other in the postseason, or maybe a couple times in the regular season, is Rudy Gay back on the court for the Jazz, and maybe late in the season or into early playoffs, Jamal Murray. But other than that, these are the teams that you'll potentially see in a 7-game series. And they're pretty energized, still feeling pretty new. And so tonight means a lot to me.
Denver is going to be a little salty about losing to Cleveland. And, of course, they want to look good and make an impression on the Jazz. Jazz want to flex and show Denver, hey, look, we're still the top dog in the West. There's a lot of emotions. You got a great home crowd tonight that are going to be fired up. So, yeah, I anticipate you're going to have a highly contested game. Now, if this game was being played in the middle of January, might be a little different. But so early in the season, I think you're going to have some fun emotions out there. You're going to see some people fired up. It's going to be fun.
Well, and this Denver team, remember, they took care of Portland last year in the postseason in 6 games.
Yeah.
And then they just ran into that Phoenix Suns buzzsaw without Jamal, right?
Yep.
And that Phoenix Suns team went through Denver in 4 games. And I'm sure that Denver has a lot to prove. I'm sure they're back in this season with a vengeance. I'm sure that Jokic wants to repeat his MVP, but they've got a lot to prove. They have done a lot without doing a lot, just like the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz finished with the one seed. They haven't done anything, really, in the last 2 years, other than finish with a one seed, but that's not something you hang in your rafters.
Well, if you get bounced in the second round, it's nothing you get too overly fired up about.
Or the first round.
Yeah.
It was pretty tough to watch. So Utah Jazz, Denver Nuggets tonight. You're going to want to pay close attention to this one.
You'll hear that game right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Also coming up tonight, you will catch the coaches show. I'll head up to Logan, and Blake Anderson and I will eat some pizza and talk some football. So if you're up in the 435, I'd love for you to come by and hang out with us at Old Chicago coming up tonight from 7 to 8. Unrivaled straight ahead, but hands, we've had ourselves a day out here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
It's just been the best. It really has. It's been the best. Come down. Hang out. You need a new car, you can get it here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. You need to sell a car, you could do that here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. You need a new job, you need something that you can really make money in, they've got bonuses and incentives to make it really easy for you to do that with Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. all those needs, automotive, parts and service departments, they can help you at the big green buildings. So next time you're in need of a car, or if you've got a car you've got to get rid of, you search Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket at LHMUsedCars.com. Find the location nearest you. Get in. Meet the manager. Tell him Hanson Scotty sent you. And, Scotty, you know these guys take good care of our listeners.
They do.
Every time.
That wraps it up for us. Unrivaled next. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.